Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blissful Living. This is the Queen of Feeling Fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson. And I am super excited because as we started this year really is about freedom, it's about change, and it is about up-leveling and stepping up your game in life as you travel down your path to bliss. And I'm not saying that just off the top of my head or just pulling it out the air. If you look at the astrological charts and numerology, this is a number 5 year according to numerology. So I'm just giving you some stuff to dip in and check out. But check out what the number 5 year means for us. And then also the way the planets are aligned in my phenomenal, absolutely fabulous sign of Aquarius, you know, Aquarius is the change agent. We are change agents, and we are that energy is responsible for change, freedom, and just really stepping into living what we are here to do. So I'm super excited to be bringing this show to you, and I have two phenomenally unstoppable ladies with me today because we're going to embark on being fierce, fearless, and unstoppable. And these two ladies are part of my Unstoppable Woman Summit that is happening this year. Now, these two ladies are the first ladies that are going to be sharing words of wisdom on how you can step into that based on their expertise. So stay tuned, hold tight, great time to get something to write with, find a nice little comfortable spot to chill for about 30 minutes, get your favorite beverage, and really take some time out for yourself. As you know, if you've been listening to me, you have got to put yourself first so that you can be 100% available, ready in mind, body, and spirit for those that you love and care about. You have to put yourself first, particularly in this day and age where our health and well-being is being challenged by things external of us. You got to put yourself first. So 30 minutes all you need right now. So take that time and find a beautiful space for you to sit back, relax, and enjoy our conversation. I want to start off by thanking our guests as well as our sponsors for the show. The first sponsor I want to thank is Blissful Living for You. They have a phenomenal wealth of products, services, things that can help you to step into having better wellness, opening up your mindset so that you truly can be fierce, fearless, and unstoppable, as well as elevating, accelerating, building, sustaining your wealth. And who does not want to do that in this day and age? And you combine all of that, and you're able to step into your dream life. So check out this Blissful Living for You at blissfullivingforyou.com. The next sponsor is All Day Cable Incorporated, telecommunications company located in the heart of Silicon Valley, a top 50 women-owned business, and they've been around for 31 years this year. And so if you have a need for network distribution, voice, data, fiber, wireless access points, audio, video, you name it, they can help you. And their customers that they have been with them for 25 plus years. So that says a lot when you have customers that have either stuck with you from the very beginning or have been with you for a very long time and continue to use you, refer you, and then want to keep you close to them because they don't want to lose access to you. All Day Cable is the telecom installation company that you want to connect with if you have those needs. They service businesses large, medium, and small, and they travel throughout the United States to help their clients make the right connections via their telecommunications. So if you have a need or you know somebody that has a need or you're curious, you want to check out All Day Cable Inc. at alldaycableinc.com. Now let's just jump right in with, let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. The first guest is Jacqueline Peterson, and she is a motivational speaker, certified transformational mindset coach who works with high-achieving women to clarify their life vision and elevate their mindset so they can unlock their authentic, joy-filled life. She mentors with deep compassion, guiding her clients to safely shed their facades and reconnect with who they really are and what they really want so they can live a shame, blame, and guilt-free life. Now, Jacqueline is a 20-year corporate veteran turned joy and purpose advocate who understands both the mind-numbing challenge of climbing the corporate ladder, and doubt-inducing fear of taking the leap of faith to pursue your passion. And if you know anything about the Unstoppable Women Summit, we are turning your passion into purpose and that into profit. So you definitely want to hear what Jacqueline has to say. Again, if you haven't got your paper and your pen, you better grab it now. Now let me tell you about our next guest, the phenomenal Marsha Gleet is a professional life coach and the founder and CEO of OMG Coach Group. Coaching Group, I'm sorry. Let me restate that. Marsha is the founder and CEO of OMG Coaching Group. After 30 years working in C-level positions in corporate America, she found her passion for impacting people who impact children. I love that. What a better arena to do that than in the camp industry. Now, during her personal journey to find happiness, Marsha found that she was a giver, a fixer, and the go-to person. Hey, women out there, can you relate to that? What was missing, though, in her life was caring for her own needs. Her unhealthy and stressful lifestyle led to the amputation of three toes, and that is when she became passionate about her own health and well-being, her own self-care. Practicing daily self-care changed her in ways that she could not have imagined. Self-care is the cornerstone of her practice, and she believes you must put your oxygen mask on first, bam, so that you can serve others with your best self, so that you can actually step into being your best self. So, as I said, we're bringing it today, and I just want to welcome Jacqueline and Miss Marsha to the Blissful Living Show. Hey, ladies, how you doing?
Awesome. Hi. So great to be here.
Yep, great. Same here, Michelle. Great to meet you too, Marsha.
Yes, love you guys. It's so nice to have women that are in sync with my mission, which is really to unite, empower, motivate, connect, strengthen, and really help women to step into owning their passion and turning that into purpose. And letting people know that whatever your passion is, you can make profit from that. And so the beautiful thing is I opened up about us being women. We are so, programmed as little girls, but we're so directed towards taking care of others. We know we take care of our children, our husband, our moms, our dads, our grandparents, our friends, or whoever. And a lot of times we do put ourselves last. And I've always been an advocate that we need to put ourselves first. Because if you put yourself last, at the end of the day, you run out of time and you just keep putting yourself last and then you never have time, which is basically what happened to Marsha. And so, ladies, I want to jump in and we'll start with Jacqueline first. So, Jacqueline, now you have this phenomenal thing that you do with regards to helping women unlock the mindset so that they can step into an authentic, joy-filled life. Can you share with the listeners exactly what does that mean?
Yeah, so what I have found is just exactly what you were just saying earlier. Like we women, we tend to wear so many hats, right? And we are constantly pushing ourselves to do more, give more, and be more, right? That we oftentimes push ourselves out of our own authenticity, right? Because we put ourselves last. And so what happens is that over time, we start losing a sense of who we are. We totally lose sight of who we are, right? What is it that we really want? And what is it that we really want to be creating and experiencing in life? And we totally lose sense of that. And when we do lose sense of that, everything else in our life starts to deteriorate around us, our careers, our marriage, our family, our health, even our finances, and everything in between. Right? And we tend to then react, or the natural reaction is to react to, oh, it's because, and blame, oh, it's because of my career. There's something about whether that be I don't like my boss, or not my coworkers aren't competent enough, or we go home and we blame, like, you know, oh, my husband isn't supportive enough, or my kids aren't behaving enough, right? But what really happens is that what's going on is that it's really on the inside, because our what happened, like our inner world is reflection of our, our external world is reflection of what's going on inside of us,
mm-hmm.
right? And so a lot of people don't realize that. And I mean, a lot of work that I do is just really to help people understand that what they are feeling and experiencing on the inside reflects outward into the external world. So for them to be able to fix that, go ahead.
So you mentioned some really key points, and one is that your external world is a reflection of what's going on inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I find is, and I'm sure you find this too, is that women, no matter how much the picture is in front of them or the movie, so to speak, of their life, there's a disconnect with them connecting that external, their external world with what's going on inside of them. Mm-hmm. What would you say to someone to help them realize that the two are really connected? You know what I'm saying? Because women, I mean, people, they generally say, oh, that's happening external, but that's not how I feel inside. They have mm-hmm. a complete disconnect. And so what would you share with the ladies out there listening, or their phenomenal men that might be listening too, what would you share with them to help them make the distinction that there is a connection? What is the one thing that they need to open up to understand about how the two are connected?
The one thing I would say is that they have to understand, and a lot of people, they don't realize this, but our brain is a goal-achieving machine, right? And it operates based on our beliefs and images that we produce in our minds. So if we have a belief about, let's say, for instance, about money, how money is hard to make, right? And we believe that, and we just keep thinking that, and we keep feeling, and we keep imagining, like, oh, you know, why is it so hard and to make money? When we go out and look at our outside world, our careers, right, where we're going to struggle with just getting that promotion that we want, or moving up in our careers, or advancing. Or if we have a belief that relationships don't last, right, and we have commitment issues, and a lot of times also, when especially if we are brought up and raised in a dysfunctional upbringing, and we see that in our parents, and our parents have mm-hmm. modeled that for us, right? And so we mm-hmm. unconsciously adopt that in our beliefs at a very young age, and we carry that with us, and it haunts us without us even knowing. And so we project that because we believe that, and our brain's a goal-achieving machine. It's going to help us filter and hone in on information in our external environment to find evidences to prove to us, to validate what we believe. Right?
That's wow.
All right. Yeah.
You know, again, another point you mentioned that is phenomenal is the saying, you are a product of your environment,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, you only know what you know. So if you grew up in a household where you saw your mom doing all that, it to you, to someone that's in that environment, you're just going to adopt to those behaviors because that's all you know. You know what I mean? That's mm-hmm. what you believe to be is a reality. And I think a lot of women fall into that. I mean, I know my mom did, you know, everything. And as far as, you know, just managing the household. And then I fell into that same thing because I just thought that's just what women are supposed to do. So I was like the mm-hmm. super mom, you know, the business. And, you know, I made sure I cooked every meal for my kids. I cooked breakfast, lunch, and dinner for my kids all the way up until they went to college. But you know what I'm saying? I did everything. I took care of everybody. I took care of my family. I took care of people like, you know, my husband, my kids, and then my mom, my dad, you know, girlfriends, boyfriend, I mean, you know, male friends. I was just that person because that's just what I saw, and that it didn't seem like, but I always, one thing I must say, I always did put myself first. And that was, I think, a little bit different because I saw the damage that it did to people that I love and care about, particularly my mom. when you ran out of time to take care of yourself. She developed lupus and rheumatoid arthritis, and is now really debilitated by it. So luckily I was able to save myself and pull myself up by the bootstraps. But there are a lot of women that just don't make the connection, and it's so true. We are a product of our environment. If you grow up in an environment that's hostile, you just think that's just the way life is. You know, mm-hmm. if you grow up in an environment that's loving and caring, then you think that's just the way life is. So it's really interesting how we act as women. I want to get Marsha involved in the conversation. So, Marsha, you actually had this very, and I want to say traumatic, but eye-opening and life-changing experience with regards to your health and well-being, and exactly what we're talking about. Can you share with the listeners a little bit about your journey with regards to changing your mindset to put yourself first?
Yeah, thank you. I'm just enjoying the conversation between you guys, so I was kind of good with you not asking me any questions.
oh, no, girl, you know I'm going to bring you – you already know me, so you know I'm going to bring you in because you got some good stuff. And
I know. That's why I was just waiting and taking copious notes.
You're so cute.
Jacqueline, I want to add one thing to what you were saying. We see what we are a product of our environment, but you know what? There's also those outside influences that we don't even realize how they're affecting us. So I grew up, and I'm sure, Rochelle, I know you did in the same generation, right? That every commercial was Women's Lib, right? And I always think about the Anjali commercial, right? You can bring home the bacon, fry it up in the pan.
Right.
And
And
I had a colleague, because I use that in some of my speaking, and a colleague said to me, yeah, you look at it as we do everything for everybody, and I always say it is obtainable for women. We can do it all, right? But is it maintainable? And she said to me, and this is really interesting, do you know the next line or what the real tagline is? And I said, no. She says, it's the 8-hour perfume for the 24-hour woman.
Oh.
So if the, right? Whoa. Yeah. Right? So if the product that they're selling can't even keep up with the 24-hour woman, how are we supposed to maintain it? So I didn't even understand growing up or in my in the prime of my career, that there was a thing as self-care, okay? I thought this is just what you do, right? We're supposed to do it all. We're supposed to have the career, the family. You know, girls went to college, and we had a corporate career, because why would you have your parents send you to college if you didn't have a corporate career? And out of the gate at 21 or 22, you just started on this life of running, right? Tie on those running shoes when you walk down when they call your name across the stage, right? Because it's just a start. And that's what I thought. I didn't know anything better. And I got to the age of 50. And I looked at myself and I thought, oh, my God, I have one career left. What is it going to be? And that's when I decided to go into coaching. And I thought when I left my job, right, I would be happy. That would be it, right? Leave the place that makes you unhappy, you can find happiness.
Right.
And I thought I was happy. And a year into my business, I had an infection in my toe, which started from a blister that I just didn't take care of, because who takes care of yourself? You take care of the kids and you take care of the husband and you just do. And
right.
The infection got into my bone of my toe. And that's when I found myself in the hospital, the infection in my blood. And this not only happened one time, it happened two times. Okay, so in the course of 2 months, I had the same scenario. First time, they amputated one toe, no big deal. Second time, they amputated two toes, and now I was down three. And I'm sitting in the hospital. We were on vacation, and I'm just Googling the hell out of happiness. Okay, something's missing. I don't know what it is. Something's missing. I knew enough to know something was missing. And every time I would Google happiness, self-care would come up. And then I'm like, what the heck is self-care, right? Not that it wasn't, you know.
And what does it have to do with happiness, right?
Right. What does that have to do with happiness? So then I'm like, okay, now I got to start Googling this self-care thing because what else do I have to do, right? And that's when it, like, the light bulb went off. Putting yourself first. Putting yourself first supports all those around you. And you could be better for everybody when, you know, basically when your tank is full. And I sat on that for a long time in the hospital, not that long because I was not there, hope, thank God, that long. But I sat on that for a while, and it just kept coming up that I needed to know more, I needed to research more, and I needed to learn more. And as I learned more, and I thought, okay, let's try this thing, and let's see what happens. And what I found when I tried it, that they were right, that I felt really much better about myself. I felt like I mattered. I felt my self-confidence go up. I felt my self-esteem go up. I felt like I was showing up better in the world and networking and all the things I was doing in my business. And it was like a boost in momentum. And that's when I said, you know what? I can't teach anything that I'm teaching if I don't start teaching self-care. And where do we want to start is not at 50. That was my thing. I'm like, I'm 50 years old. It's like, it's not too late for me, but it's a little bit late in figuring it out at a younger age. And that's
right.
When I came about, you know, really supporting those that impact children. And since we talked, I'm like listening to that bio, Rochelle, and I'm like, you know what? My business has changed so much in the years since I wrote that. And it's like, and I'm thinking, God, I'm like, I got to change that for the next time I do this show, because I actually launched a bigger brand around my OMG coaching called Now Levity Leadership. And I like to bring the levity back into leadership. And we are all leaders, whether we are an entrepreneur, we're a professional, career professional, or whether we're a domestic engineer, right? We're all leaders.
Right.
And we're all leaders impacting the people around us.
Oh, yes. Exactly. Exactly. You know, the wonderful thing about just having this conversation about just women, and I think what holds us back sometimes is because we're externally focused, as Jacqueline quoted, you know, and she shared with us, and we don't have the connection with, we're so connected externally that we don't realize that it could be detrimental to us internally if we don't make the connection of how our external world is affecting us. And a lot of people do that, and then how self-care is really the foundation of it all. Without being healthy and well, without putting yourself first, without taking care of yourself, you can't live that magnificent life. And for me, being a healthcare professional and serving many, many years in a clinical practice frontline, heart and soul goes out to my fellow emergency room trauma comrades out there working today. But I've seen that so many times, and just having conversations with people and realizing, you know, just a little thing that you might share with them that sometimes helps them to make the connection that the reason why their external life is the way it is, and the reason why they feel like they do internally is because their external life, and they're not taking care of themselves, and they're not putting themselves first. And they just have this mindset that it is what it is. So it's great that, you know, both of you shared your wisdom with regards to that. Now, I want to go back to Jacqueline, because I want to ask you, Jacqueline, with regards to I love your bio because the deep compassion that you have for guiding your clients. When it comes to shame, blame, and guilt, what do you find is the most prevalent thing that women don't identify or can't see with regards to when they are doing that shame, blame, guilt trip on themselves?
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting because what I have found is we do that at a subconscious level, and like you said, we don't realize it. And what's even more detrimental is that, especially for women who have gone through and raised in a dysfunctional upbringing or have all still haunted by their past, and so they're still living in the shadows of their past, right? And they grow up and they kind of vow to, like, I would never be like my parents, or would never, you know, do that,
right,
or whatever, and want to change, right, and work their entire life to try to make a different life for themselves, right? And
mm-hmm.
then they go through life because of those beliefs that they have adopted at an early age that have just kind of like anchored in deeper layers of their subconsciousness, right, that they haven't been able to resolve. They carry them with them for decades. And then little by little, right, it starts to replicate itself, the patterns of that starts to replicate itself into their own lives. Right?
Right.
And they start to see that, oh, wow, it's like the things that I grew up and didn't like, or all the things that I didn't want to experience in my childhood and my upbringing, I'm starting to see patterns of it being replicated my life now, in my family life now, right? And I think that is where that the biggest thing is, like, wow, what is going on here, right? And so for me, a lot of my work to do is to help them understand and really take a deep look within themselves, right? And I love what Marcia talks about, that self-care, right? And the
mm-hmm.
huge part of the self-care is really connecting with who you are, right? And not even at, you know, connecting with your current version of yourself, but also
right.
that inner child, that younger version of you that's still hurting, or that still, you know, have these lingering pain that was unresolved, right? To be able to reconcile your relationship with your younger self, right? And merge
yeah.
the two and bring your younger self to your current self, and recognizing and in gratitude of everything that your younger self went through to help you be the wonderful woman that you are today, and reconciling that relationship.
I love that. You know, you open up a whole can of worms. Ladies, we're going to have to have another show about this. But you know what?
You got to start talking fast, ladies.
Well, no, you know, the reason is because there's so much. And by us having this dialogue, you know, we're just three girlfriends having a conversation. You know, by us having this dialogue, you will be so surprised of how many people can relate to everything that we're talking about, particularly like what you just mentioned, Jacqueline. You know, you have the kids that grow up and they see an alcoholic parent, or an abusive parent, or a parent that is, you know, wayward with a relationship, and they say, oh, I'm going to grow up. When I grow up, I'm never going to be like that. I've heard it. I've experienced it, you know, and I'm just saying. And then they grow up and they do the exact same thing that they hated in that parent, you know, whether girl, boy, or, you know, and then it's like, when you say, hey, I thought you said you weren't going to do this, or you weren't going to, you know, treat yourself this way because you saw how XYZ treated themselves this way, you vowed to never do that. Why are you doing this? And it's interesting, the conversation that you have and the rationales that they give you, or how they don't even tie it together. Because they're kind of a little bit like disconnected from that child, and so they feel guilty and they have shame. But if you admit to it, right, then you've exposed yourself, and no one wants to expose that kind of part of them.
Right, we're holding it all together with Band-Aids and bubble gum. We're not going to
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So I wanted to add something, a comment to what Jacqueline had to say, because kind of go a little bit. So I had two experiences with that. The first one was I was never going to be like my father. okay? Mm-hmm. And but everybody said, oh, my God, you're just so like your father. And I took that, all right? And I took that as a, not a compliment, okay, by any means, because the story I was telling myself was I didn't want to be like him. And it was unfortunate. It wasn't until after his passing, which is we're going on almost 10 years now, that I understood where he was coming from. And that people saying that you were a lot like your father was really a compliment. It wasn't a bad thing. And when I changed that story for myself and saying, wow, I should – That is a compliment to be like him. I don't have all the traits, but I have a lot that are, you know, and understanding why he did something. But I had something really, really, like, mind-blowing happen this last week, okay? I'm on the phone with my 30-year-old. Well, she's almost 30. If I say 30, I get in trouble when she listens to these things. So my 29 and a lot of months daughter, we're on the phone, and we were talking about the person that's, like, most important to her in her life, and she said, Mom, I have to stop. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, I felt myself doing what you used to do, that when I had any kind of an idea or anything that I wanted to do, you would go into rapid fire overload and do everything. And all we wanted to do was to do it ourselves.
Right.
And I said, that's really interesting. I never knew that I didn't understand why you didn't like that I was trying to just help you out. And she goes,
right.
I get it now. I get you trying to help us out because I find I do the same thing.
Right.
Because I do the same thing for her significant other. But here's the interesting thing. I hated it. She loved it.
Oh.
And I said, really? She goes, yeah, she loves when I do that because nobody in her family ever cared enough for her to go and do and help and be supportive. So what we think is not, what we don't like doesn't mean somebody else doesn't like. So you really have to be careful of that fine line between saying, I'm not going to do anything that, you know, or that everything that I do that I didn't like is bad. Is it's really situational. And not only does our family teach us a lot, our external factors teach us a lot too. So I love the whole concept, but now I swear in the last week when this came up, like, this is my new thing. It's like, it's not so bad that you do the things that you didn't like. It really depends on the person that you're doing it for and what they interpret how, you know, it's the story
it
they're telling.
Exactly. Right. It's. I mean, it's amazing. It's like, it's funny because I heard the same thing. I heard you look just like your mom. Or you look just like your dad, and you act just like your dad. I've heard, you know, so I never got told that I act like my mom. But she's like, you act just like your dad. Oh, you're doing, girl, you're just like your daddy. And I was like, okay. You know, but I love my dad because I think, you know, looking back, and I kind of figured this out a while ago, he was a very hard worker. He kind of did what he had to do so that we could be provided what, you know, we needed to have, so to speak. He did the best he could. And when I learned how he grew up and then how, you know, my grandfather grew up, it just kind of made everything a little bit different. I had a different insight. The things that I did not like that he did was not what they were saying when they were, like, saying, you're just like your dad. They never give you specifics, but you're just like your dad or you're just like this person. And you think, you just know, if you assume it's the negative thing, the thing you don't want to be like, right?
But yep. it was like my dad was a hard worker. He was a mechanic for Ford. He worked for Ford for 45 years. He worked at a plant in Milpitas, and then mm-hmm. went on when that plant closed and went and became a head mechanic at dealerships in San Jose. But he was a very hard worker, and he, you know, was determined, and he was always learning, and he was always, you know, trying to do the best that he could and trying to do good, even though he had bad tendencies, but he tried, you know. And so
mm-hmm.
And so when I look at that, it makes me smile, and our conversation makes me laugh. I mean, makes me smile and brings love and joy and laughter to my heart, because it brings back memories for all of us, right? And
yep.
we're opening this up for other people, because when they listen to the show, they're going to be like, oh, my God, yes, right, I can relate to that. And that's what we're trying to do with regards to connecting us to each other so we can support each other and build each other up and lift us up and you know, give us the momentum to go do what we want to do. And with that being said, and I'm just talking too much, I know I have time to ask each of you ladies one more question. Thank you for your graciousness. So back to you, Ms. Jacqueline, with regards to our conversation today and your specialty of just being that joy and purpose advocate, what would you share? What is a message that you would share with the women and very smart men out there listening to us today on how if a woman is at the crossroads and really wants to really step into being fierce, fearless, and unstoppable, what do you suggest she does based on your joy and purpose in life?
I think the most powerful thing that any woman or man, any individual can do when they're at that crossroads in their life and they want to change and know that there's something better waiting for them, like they think it'd be more than who they are and living more than what they are living today. First and foremost is to give themselves permission, okay, to create the permission to create time and space for them to really ask themselves, if money and resources were not an issue, what would I want to do with my life? Okay, and give themselves fully permission to take the logic out, take all the social constructs or everything that we've been led to believe and just put all of that aside and just freely dream limitlessly, right? And just allow us and give ourselves permission and for that space. Because just like Walt Disney says, right, if you can dream it, you can do it. Right?
Yep.
And the bigger you dream, right, it's like the more you can create that change in your life and in the world as well. And that's one thing I find that, especially us women, that we don't give ourselves enough permission to do that.
Mm.
Right? So that would be my one kind of wisdom for all the women listening out there or even men, right? It's just to give yourself permission to create that space so that you can dream limitlessly and find clarity on what it is that you really, truly want in life.
I love that. Thank you, Jacqueline. And so now, Ms. Marcia, what would you say with regards to, you know, men and women or women and men or people, we may have even kids, younger children listening. I mean, I want to say teens, older kids, but we may have young folks listening. What would you say to people listening out there with regards to what you shared with regards to self-care and just the wonderful conversation we have to help them if they're at that crossroads? What would you have? What would little igniter would you inspire in them to help them to step in and being fierce, fearless, and unstoppable and doing and living their purpose?
I think one of the biggest things is that we're not alone. So you're not whatever it is you're feeling, whatever it is that you're doing, wherever you are, you're not alone. And the more that we think that we are or believe that we are, the more we're going to struggle at figuring out where do we go and what can you do. And you know, no matter what it is it health, is it wealth, is it relationships, right? There are so many things that we thought that that we could do more and be more. And I think it goes for men and for women. I know we have a lot of conversations about us women that are the doers and the fixers, and that's not necessarily true anymore. Men are experiencing the same exact pressure and unhappiness as we women are now, because they're part of the conversation now, especially in the new the new world, right? And our millennials,
right,
and our children, right? They're in this they're in this together. It's not where the man, you know, what we saw growing up, right? The man, the father, he went out and he worked, and he worked long hours, he worked hard, and he came home and he provided. Well, guess what? The men, most men can't do that anymore. It's a two-income society that we live in, especially if you want to have kids. And
right.
So they're feeling the same thing. They want to raise the kids just as much as it's not necessarily only our job. So I think we have to look at that society has changed, and society has put as much pressure on men as on women. And if you think that we can't take care of ourselves, right, men don't even
right.
know how to. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
right.
I look and I say, you know what, take a minute, step back, look at who else is in your sphere that needs this type of work. Go get yourself some help. There's so many amazing coaches out there. You know, Jacqueline's out there, I'm out there, you're out there, and there's tons more of us that you, when you find the right person to work with, they're going to help you through it, and they're going to help you find the path, and they're going to find the right philosophy that'll get
right.
you through it. You can do
the other thing that I would say with regards to that is it's okay to ask for help, whether you're male or female. It's okay, or a millennial or whatever. It's okay to ask for help. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's
Absolutely.
A sign of strength. And it's a sign that you believe that you have something better to do, and you just need a little help with the challenge you're having to help you get through the challenge, that you can be the
yeah.
best that you can be. So it's okay to ask for help. That is a sign of strength. And, oh, my God,
yeah.
lady, okay, we have to – I have to thank you very much. We have – gone past our time, which I probably knew we would once we started talking. But I want to thank both of you so much. It's been a pleasure to have this conversation. Very enlightening, inspiring, motivating, self-awaring, so to speak, opening things up. And I think it's a fabulous way to start the year by disseminating you both of your words of wisdom. So thank you, Jacqueline, and
thank you,
Marcia. So much. And so before we go, these, again, I want to remind you, these two ladies will be part of the Unstoppable Woman Sermon, Turning Passion into Purpose While Being Fierce, Fearless, and Unstoppable. We have a virtual event coming up, so there will be more information about it with regards to how you can also connect with these ladies on the podcast page. But Jacqueline, real quickly, can you just share where someone could connect with you if they are interested?
Sure, absolutely. They can visit my website at joyfullivingmindset.com or email me at Jacqueline, JACQUELYNN at joyfullivingmindset.com.
Perfect. Thank you, Ms. Jacqueline. And now, Ms. Marcia, can you do the same, please?
Yeah, absolutely. I love them to go out and go to mymoodzone.com. It's mymoodzone.com. And I have a free download for them, and they can go and they can learn about all about your mood and all about the different, you know, when to know when you need help and how you can help yourself. So it's a fun little one-page guide that to self-care and to loving yourself. And if they really want, I'm doing a complimentary strategy session with you know, with the listeners, just mention this
hey,
show.
Well, hold on, Martha. We're going to put that information on the podcast page. So,
okay.
Everybody out there, I want to make sure that you go to the podcast page and get the information with regards to where you can get Marcia's free strategy session, connect with Jacqueline, connect with Marcia as well.
Beautiful.
And then also make sure that if you need to replay this last part where you can get the ladies' websites as well so you can connect with them, see what they have, all the goodies that they have
Beautiful.
For you all. That would be phenomenal. And we'd love to
yeah.
hear your feedback on what you thought about the show. You can comment on the ladies' site, I'm sure, what you thought about what they had to say, you know, everything. We love that because we want feedback. We can't help all of you to step into being fierce, fearless, and unstoppable if we don't really know if we're missing something that you really need. So please, please, please connect with us. I want to thank our sponsors, All Day Cable Incorporated at All Day Cable, Inc., as well as Blissful Living for You, home of the Unstoppable Woman Summit. And as always, I'm the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson, wishing you peace to your mind, wellness to your body, and tranquility to your spirit. Until next time, be healthy and well. Practice what you need to practice to stay healthy and well. And we'll chat with you later. Goodbye for now.